Okay, good. Okay, well, I'm here this morning by the grace of God, like all of us, you know. My lovely wife, Amanda, and my mother, Sherry, are here with me. And it's interesting because what ended up happening, the reason that I'm here in front of you guys today is I do a lot of walking. I hurt my wrists in a work-related incident 2 years ago, and so I can't drive anymore. And so I do a lot of walking, and I was walking past Greg's church here, and I listened to a lot of podcasts, and he said, "What are you listening to, Ed?" And I said, "Well, funny you should ask." And I listened to this podcast called Strength for Today's Pastor. It's pastors for pastors to encourage pastors in the things that they deal with on a regular basis. You know, whether they're administrative or spiritual battles that, you know, because the pastor is pastoring. So who's pastoring him? You know, so God is pastoring him, but there is a team of pastors that come alongside churches and help. So I listen to those guys because they've been around the block. They're old, you know, they've seen everything under the sun. They've experienced it and they've come through the other side. And so when I shared that with Greg that day, I was walking by, he said, "Hey, why don't you come on by and share and teach?" And I, you know, I'm listening to these podcasts and I'm thinking, I kind of laugh because Greg is fully equipped by the Lord to minister to the people that are under him. I thought, well, there's no reason for me to go. And I kind of just laughed. Okay. And then what ended up happening is I was in my quiet time and the Lord just reminded me about that conversation and he kind of put on my heart, you know, and I responded with, "Well, God, if you're doing something, I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out on what you're doing, whether that's for your people or my edification or our edification as the body. I just want to be on board." So that is why we're here this morning. I called Greg and I said, "I feel a little funny. I don't know if I'm getting led here or not, but I think I'm supposed to call you and ask if that was a genuine invitation." So here we are and we set it up and yeah. So if you would be so kind, if you have your Bible with you, to turn to the book of Colossians. All right, we're gonna read for a moment, and then we're gonna pray. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, by the way, just in case you'd, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the plumb line that we have through your word, through your Holy Spirit, that will direct us and lead us and really, Lord, fulfill every need and desire that we come across, Lord. And so as we get into your word, Father, I pray that you would speak to us corporately as individuals, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, that still small voice would direct our conversation today. We love you, Father, and we thank you for sending Jesus. It's in your Son's name. Amen. Okay. So Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ called by the will of God. You know, Paul was rudely interrupted. He was persecuting Christians. He was a Jew, okay, and he was persecuting Christians. And on the road to Damascus, God intervened in Paul's life. So many times he intervenes in all of our lives. Thank God that he intervenes in our lives. He will disrupt our flow, and he'll speak to us and give us the option of getting on board with what he has for us. Okay? And so that is how this book got written, is because God interrupted and then God divinely spoke through this man, Paul. And it says, by the will of God. So he is just, he's just saying what I just said. And Timothy, our brother, Timothy was with him. He was, Timothy was with Paul, learning from Paul. To the saints and faithful brethren who are in Colossae. So this is to the church. This is what we're about to read, and we're going to go on past 8, but this is for us. This is for Christians, okay? Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, he starts a lot of his letters by this, grace and peace. And we know, okay, those of us who've read the Bible, that grace is the unmerited favor that God has on those who belong to him. And we also know that grace is the divine influence on the heart of the believer. That's the Holy Spirit's influence on our daily lives, on our thoughts, and our minds. And so that is what he is praying or saying, hey, I want you to have grace and peace with God. And it comes from our Lord Jesus Christ, right? I have peace. The word peace, the definition, is the freedom of disturbance. So how often are we disturbed by everything, right? Everything disturbs us, you know, if, you know, something isn't clean or whatever, little tiny things, you know, we are disturbed, but see, our faith is not disturbed, okay? Through the grace of God, our faith is not disturbed. And so with those two things in conjunction, we have favor with God, and we can rest in that. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Okay. So let's get into this. Verse 3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of your love for all the saints. Okay. It is presumed that Paul actually never made it to Colossae. Okay? He did not preach to these people. We're going to find out who did, but this is a fruit. This is basically the first church. Once Christ was crucified, they waited, and then they were anointed with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Potentially, these people weren't there. They could have been, but we don't know. But what we do know is they are the fruit of the gospel coming forward. Okay? And that's verse 5. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Okay, so they heard this before, right? Which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit. Okay? As it is among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. So he's saying, hey, you've been blessed, and you are the fruit that is being brought forth in the world by the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? Verse 7, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of the work on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Okay? So it looks like Epaphras came to Paul and he said, hey, these guys are rocking. God has blessed them. He's empowered them to do the work of the ministry. It is fruit worth praising God for, right? And I really like this, who is also in verse 8, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Okay, so we know that the Spirit, right, grace and the Spirit are like one, right? It's that divine influence on our hearts and on our minds. It gives us unity. You know, we find unity in the Spirit of God and in His grace and in faith. And so I wonder, and this is just me, I wonder if the Holy Spirit was already telling Paul of these things and then Epaphras solidified these things to Paul, okay? So we are going to keep on keeping on here. And we're going to read what happens, Paul's reaction to hearing how the church in Colossae is doing. Verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. As far as I'm concerned, I don't need to say anything else. Amen. I mean, I love this. It talks about being filled with the knowledge of God. When we pursue who God is, what He's done, then what comes? Walking worthy. And then after that, what comes is fully pleasing God. Okay? And then after that, we're strengthened to endure trials, with patience, you know, with long suffering, and then ultimately with joy. Okay? So, and then on top of that, giving thanks to the Father for the suffering. Okay, well, you know, that's a little tough, but it says that this is attainable. Paul would not be offering these praises to God if they weren't a realistic, viable option for us as believers. I definitely have not attained to this in any instance, but what I do believe is I believe that God is faithful and true, and his word is true. And these things are available to every single believer. Everyone that has been sanctified and washed by the blood of Jesus has these things available to them. Let's see. So I would just like to go back through this section of scripture and let's just get a little bit more intimate with some of the things and some of the ways practically that we can be where God wants us. Okay. So verse 9, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Okay, when I read this, I feel like Paul is bursting out in praise to God over these things. You know, when I write a letter, I don't think these things. I think, God bless you, that's great. But he is absolutely excited for the things that God has done in these people. And he wants the absolute best for them. And he says he prays for not ceasing, but he asks that they may be filled. What are some of the things that we look for to be filled? You know, I love music. I love surfing. I can't surf anymore, you know. I don't know if the Lord's going to heal me, but if I was looking there to be filled, I would be a wreck. If I was looking, anyway, you just fill in the blank. Everyone knows what the things that they are prone to look for fulfillment in, okay? But I'll tell you what, those things can be taken away, you know? But the word of God and his love, his patience, kindness, that will never be taken away. You know, that can't be. And so it says that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I've been saved for 10 years now. Praise God that Greg was praying for me. You know, that's right. Amen. Yeah. And if you ask him, I was surfing every day. That's where I found my fulfillment, you know, and in many of other things that I have since quit. So it says to be filled with the knowledge of his will. How can we know the will of God in our lives? How can we know if we are walking in wisdom? You know, I mean, it's that is something that I have found, that I look to the word of God as the plumb line that I use to direct my life, okay? Because all the other plumb lines are twisted, as far as I'm concerned. Between the word of God and his Holy Spirit, those are the only true plumb lines that I've found on the earth, you know? And so what that does is, once you immerse yourself into the word and listen for God to speak to you, to softly correct you, to, once you decide, I am going to have an intimate relationship with Christ, I want to know him more, I want to know what he likes, what's enjoyable to him, you know, and through his Spirit, he tells us. And through his word, we have confirmation of those things. I believe that the word is divinely written. You know, I believe that God is, if he can create the earth, then he can influence man to write a book. You know, it's so simple to me. Okay? And so I just encourage us as a body to trust his word. Okay? And sometimes we don't understand things, okay? But that doesn't mean that God isn't going to give us understanding in the future. You know, we don't have to understand everything, but we walk in faith and we allow God to speak, to change our minds, to change our hearts. And ultimately, every time he does that, you know, there are no regrets. Never, ever regrets. You look back and you go, wow, thank you, Lord. You saved me from something that could have been awful. All right. That we may walk worthy of the Lord. Do you guys know what worthy means? You know, you see, you know, thou aren't worthy in like movies and stuff or whatever. But worthy, see where we are. Where are we? Verse 10. Worthy means having worth or excellence. It means excellence. It also means equivalent. Okay? So, worthy of the Lord. The Lord sees us. When we do these things, he sees our hearts and our desires. And if we're on track with his plans, he sees that as excellent, okay? He doesn't see that as anything else but awesome, right on, go get it, I'm with you, I'm for you, no matter what, okay? And then after we walk worthy, verse 10, it says it's fully pleasing. You know, humans have in our nature to please our parents. That's the nature that God has given us. And how good is it to know that what we are doing is pleasing God? What a breath of fresh air. When we know that God is not only, you know, that we're on board, that we're on track, and, you know, he's going, yeah, you go, you know. There's nothing really better, and that brings that peace, that rest, joy, comfort, you know, and we're going to get into that in verse 11 here. let's see, verse 11, strengthened with all might. We like that. We like that. We want to be strong, you know. We want to be doing well with all might to according to his glorious power. So again, you know, if we're setting aside our personal ambitions, if we're setting aside even our own physical strengths and weaknesses, and we're relying on his glorious power, we are then strengthened. And it's interesting because it says strengthened for all patience and long suffering. Strengthened for hard things? That's what it says. Strengthened for patience, strengthened to wait on the Lord, for him to move, strengthened to be at peace in the midst of adversity. He has given us the ability to rest. And we're going to see that here really soon too. At least I think. but he has given us the ability to be his martyrs. And it also says at the end of verse 11, it says with joy. It says, so we have strength to persevere with joy. You know, we had an example with our friends here with their COVID experience. You know, they persevered with long suffering with joy. As far as I'm concerned, what they are sharing with me, that is a fruit of God. That's the ability that God gives us through his Holy Spirit as being his kids. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Okay, so we have been looking at things that are, well, from a temporal perspective, right? From a temporal, but now we are going to look at the things that are available to us on an eternal perspective, okay? He says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers. I don't know if I wrote down qualified. But, you know, I think about going to school, right, and getting your degree. Once you get your degree, you're considered qualified. But actually, it's the 3 or 4 years or 10 years after that you're actually doing the thing in your field that you actually are getting qualified, right? Okay? But we're qualified as soon as we accept Jesus Christ. Then the sanctification is the work, you know? So we're qualified. We get the certificate right away, okay? Partakers of the inheritance of the saints. You know, we have an inheritance for the future. And I believe that this was written just after this verse 11, strengthened for all patience, because this is another tool that God has given us to navigate life. He's given us a future and a hope, right? A future and a hope. We have the privilege of knowing the future. This world does not know their future, okay? And we always want to change the future. We want a better future, but God has already given us the best future, okay? And we see this through a glass that is dimly lit. We only get snippets and pictures and shadows of the glory that is going to be before us. But through faith, right? He said, we're here at verse 4, your faith, right, in Jesus Christ, we again have a future and a hope that we can depend on, that can hold us steady through hard times, even through wonderful times. You know, sometimes my closest times with the Lord is when something is wrong, okay? But sometimes my closest times are when I'm just thankful and just walking with him and going, wow, Lord, you're doing some stuff and this is really cool and you're including me. How cool is that, Lord? You know, My closest times with the Lord are never me running around like a chicken with my head cut off and worrying about this or worrying that, you know, God gives us an option in our lives to trust Him and to rest in His protection, in His provision, and ultimately in His sovereignty, right? You know, we know where we're going. And if the Lord wills things to not be the way that we want them to be, with this passage of Scripture directing our hearts and directing our minds, we're much more apt to say, okay, Lord, I'm on board with whatever You're doing. These are the things that I want for my life. You know, I'm blessed because I get to study, you know, and God gets to talk to me and I get to wrestle with all this stuff and figure out, okay, well, you know, oh, the knowledge of His will. Man, I see about this much of it, right? But I look back and I go, oh man, Lord, You are on top of all these things in my life, you know? I'm blessed by being able to share the word with you guys today. And we get to do this together, you know. I'm checking time, sorry. Okay, so we have just a little bit more time. And you know what? We're going to read 4 more verses. Because we've talked about Paul's perspective of the Colossians. We've talked about the things that God has for the Colossians, present and future. And now we're going to talk about who God is. Okay, we're going to wrap this thing up with who God is. And so verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through the blood and forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by Him all things, how many things? All things were created, for that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created through Him and for Him. Did you know that if God gave us the ability to walk with Him and never forgave us of our sins, it would be pointless? We can have all of the spiritual blessings of God and walk firm in those things, but if we have not been reconciled to God through Christ, then we die like everybody else, you know? It says right here that He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Well, you know what? On earth, I don't feel like He's delivered me from darkness. I still sin, you know? I still have family members that are sick or need money or things don't work the way out the way that I want them to. But the power of darkness, we've been delivered from that on an eternal perspective. We've been delivered. It's an amazing thing that through all of the complications of life, Jesus just says, I have my hand on you. You don't need to worry. I'm going to look at my notes here because redemption is the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. If our debt isn't cleared, then we're toast, right? And Christ has paid that debt for us. He's given us new life in Him. And now we know that we have been cleared from darkness. Has no hold on us. Feels like it because we walk in these sinful bodies, you know? Feels like those things are going to have an everlasting hold on us. But they don't, you know? God's good. He's got it covered. He's got us all covered. He is the image of the invisible God. Verse 15. The image, the firstborn over all creation. You know, people get this mixed up because Jesus wasn't born. He's God. Jesus is God. But firstborn, you know, the firstborn in biblical times got double inheritance. He was the, you know, the firstborn son got twice the goods that all the other sons got, okay? And so this is a matter of placement, not a matter of birth, okay? And it says that he is the image. Well, you know what? He is the image of God. He's a representation of God. You know, so often we look, okay, Old Testament God is so different than the New Testament God, right? Fire and brimstone and then love and joy. But honestly, it's the same God. It's just we see it from two perspectives. We see it from God's perspective of man separated from us. And then we see God's perspective of us reconciled to him. What a difference. What a difference. For by him all things, verse 16, were created that are in heaven and that are in earth. You guys know that science was created by God? Math was created by God? He's an orderly God? Those things do not have to be separated. God gave us knowledge and wisdom to search out the things of God. It's like a treasure hunt. We get to look at the world around us and say, wow, how did you do that? And we also see that with kids, right? With their dad, the point, kids point, and dad says, oh, that's this, or that's that. And we have that with God. It says that he is the Father, right? I don't remember where it says that, but I'm sure it says that about 50 times in the Bible, okay? That he's our Father. And he wants us to search these things out. And it says all things were created by him in heaven and in earth. We have visible things. We have invisible things too. We have spiritual things that are also created. I can't wait to find out the math and science of the spiritual things, because God says he does things in order. So he's going to have logical conclusions that deduce how the Spirit moves in our lives. How, you know, I'm excited about that. And, you know, that's just my perspective, okay? It's not in the Bible, but I think that it's just going to be so cool, you know? And I want to know more about those things. It says also whether thrones or dominions, principalities and powers, thrones or dominions. So is that the authoritative structure that God gave us? Is that, you know, us being born where we were born? Is that us being well off or poor, or is that us, our appointed birthday, you know? I would say that God has called all those things into be. You know, those are our secondary identifiers. Our political place or our religious beliefs, our, you know, charismatic, Arminianist, all of those things are secondary, right? Who we are, the color of our skin, what we want to be when we grow up, okay? Those are secondary things. The primary identifier is Christ. Unites all of us together. It says all things. And it says that we were created through him and for him. We were created for God. Okay? Does that, for me, you know, I have to look for the reason why. And we see reasons why all over. There's a street because cars need to drive up and down it. There's an umbrella because we need shade, okay? I've been created for God. We've all been created for God. There is not a single human being on the earth that has not been created for God. It's an amazing thing. It leaves no one out, okay? And through the blood of Jesus, all things are reconciled. You know, it also says that he's the head of the church. The firstborn from the dead. We were all dead before Christ was risen. Even those that were before in Abraham's bosom, you know, I mean, I believe Christ came down Abraham's bosom and reconciled those pre-Christ. Be his, you know. No one is excluded. It's the love of God that brings us to repentance. It's the love of God that has also brought us into heaven. And so I encourage us all, if these verses are the things that we want for our lives, and I know you do because this Holy Spirit imparts these things on our heart. He just does. And I encourage you guys just to allow him to minister to you, speak to you. Allow, you know, so often in my prayer time, I just try to stay quiet. Because so often I can say, okay, Lord, I need this, or God, can you, or will you? And so often, I just need to hear what he wants for me. Because all of the haves and the wishes and the wants, he will rearrange and make and put them in proper priority. And then it's cool because then you're just hanging out with God and all this stuff's just working out. So there we go, Pastor Greg.
Stay there, okay?
Okay, all right.
So I would like you to pray for us.